Hi, today is Monday, August the 21st, 2006. This is the CWF Game Discussions Podcast, and I am your host, Jonathan Reinhardt. I want to say that this weekend was a nice warm one, and had a lot of fun, had the weekend off. I hope you enjoyed your weekend too. We will be starting a new format with today's podcast. We want to mix things up, try them out a little bit. And in order to know what works, we need to hear back from you, so we do need your feedback. Please keep that in mind as you listen to the show. As always, you can get our contact information, my contact information, at the end of the show. I mentioned it, and also it appears in our show notes. I want to mention that in today's podcast, we will be exclusively talking about the upcoming new release to Warhammer Fantasy. It is the 7th edition, and in particular, we are talking about the box set Battle for Skull Pass. As always, you can find our show notes and all the information and much more by going to our website, which is wargamingforums.com. And everything is on there. We have our show notes, our RSS feed. You can find links to other podcasts and blogs that we like. Everything that we enjoy, you can find there. I want to mention that our sponsor for today's show is Akko Hosting, and they are our own host. They are incredible. They start at $3.55 a month. That's $3.55 a month for web hosting. You can find them by going to akkohosting.com. That is akkohosting.com. And you can find the link in our show notes. As I said, I want to thank everyone who have been listening to us. In our first few shows, we had a number of people listening, and I am greatly appreciative of that. But let's try to make this show a little bit shorter than some of ours. I have a tendency to be a little talkative, and today I hope to remedy that. So as I said, we will be discussing the new edition of Warhammer Fantasy. It is 7th edition, and they're coming up with a box set called Battle for Skull Pass. It seems like they got the idea for when they revamped 40K, which is Warhammer 40,000. They came up with a box set called the Battle for Makra, and that focused on Space Marines and Tyranids. The Battle for Skull Pass will be focusing on the Orcs and Goblins, commonly called Greenskins, and the Dwarfs. The latest issue of White Dwarf, which would be in the U.S., White Dwarf number 320, it's a September 06 issue, spends a lot of time talking about the new edition that will be coming out. And in particular, I just want to discuss some of the things mentioned in an article with the games designer for the new edition, who is Alessio Cavatore, and he talks about a few rule changes that I think will greatly impact and alter the way that Warhammer Fantasy is played. To start off, I'm going to take them out of order from how he has them in his article, and I do recommend that you purchase this White Dwarf to read the article in depth. There's a whole section even larger than what we will talk about that deals with 7th edition. But what I want to start off with deals with magic, and I know people have said that the current edition of Fantasy, which would be 6th edition, is too prone. It relies too heavily on magic. It's more times than I can even think of when I've heard or seen how powerful magic plays into the game. And Alessio tried to temper that down. In particular, he noticed, and it's something I've always noticed as well, that people will have multiple spellcasters, but they only cast spells with the highest level spellcaster. So for example, say you're playing Chaos, and you have a Chaos Sorcerer. He's a level 4 Chaos Sorcerer, so he's maxed out. He would actually be a Chaos Lord of some sort. And you have a couple lower level spellcasters, sorcerers, level 1 and level 2, but you don't really do anything to bump their levels up, because you're using them as caddies, so to speak. You just want to get the extra power dice. You want to use them to house the dispel scrolls, that sort of thing. he was greatly bothered by the fact that people would do that. They would have all these other ones. He uses the term batteries. I call them, you know, like spell caddies. And he was greatly disturbed by that fact because he felt that, you know, why are you getting these other lower level magic users if they are not going to cast any spells? So he greatly altered the magic phase of the game. And the way he did this was, it's actually kind of ingenious, and I don't agree with it entirely. But what he did was, he says that you have a common pool of dice for your magic, your power dice. They're your basic level that you get, and say if you have different, you get extra power dice because of regiments, for example. If you're playing Chaos, you can play... it's a particular army, and I know I'm going to mispronounce it, so I do apologize for that, but Zints, and you play in that, they're infamous for having, you can max out with 2,000 with the Chaos Lord and Dragon, and you get like something like, 40-something power dice or whatever, I think. And the way you get that is because if you give each regiment a mark for that Chaos Lord, you get an extra power dice for your magic, because he is, well, it, rather, we don't really know the gender of all the Chaos Gods, but it is very magical. It's into magic, it's in tune, it's tied in, you know. And so you would be able to get these bonuses, and you can still use those form your common magic power dice pool. And you also start off with a basic number depending on whatever. But now, whatever power dice each spellcaster contributes, they only get to use what they contribute in addition to the basic pool. So, for example, if I have a level 4 spellcaster and I have a level 2 spellcaster, the level 2 spellcaster cannot use the power dice that the level 4 spellcaster would contribute. So, if one person contributes, say, 4 power dice and the other one contributes 2, the guy who contributes 2 can only use his 2 power dice. He can't use a 4 power dice from the other guy. This changes drastically, I feel. It changes drastically how the magic phase will work, and hopefully it will temper it down a little bit. I have a concern with this in that you have some armies that rely so heavily on magic, not offensively in the sense of like high elves, but just to kind of survive. And the first one that comes to my mind are vampire counts. The reason why that army comes to my mind is I play vampire counts. I have an army of Sylvania army that I am working on, and I will hope to discuss it in the podcast. I know Army of Sylvania is not turning legal anymore, but the basic Vampire Counts army relies heavily on having a vampire counter lord, and you need to have necromancers. You need them to bolster support and to help you raise skeleton and other undead. But if you're not able to share your power dice for this particular army, you have greatly diminished their capacity. And at the same time, if you look at it from a commercial standpoint, if an army does not have a sufficient capacity where the customers and the players feel that it can perform well in a game, they will not purchase it. So in effect, this one basic change, it's a minor alteration in that, you know, it doesn't take a lot of text to change, has killed an entire army. I don't think that people will purchase Vampire Counts armies as much as they have, and they haven't been purchasing them that much to begin with. And there are a few other changes I want to talk about, in particular, not with magic. Well, actually, there's one more with magic. There's something, well, it's not magic, it's a break test, but it's called Insane Courage. And it's always been a house rule where I've played, and I know other places use it as house rules. But now, when you are rolling for a break test, if you roll snake eyes, which is double ones on your dice, you automatically pass your test, no matter whether there's special rules like fear, or there's other modifiers or whatever. This way that no matter what, you always have some chance, no matter how improbable it is, but some chance that you will pass that break test, and you will be able to stay on and, you know, just kind of grasp at some straws. And that's something I like. I like to see that they have taken that, formulized it, and made it part of the actual whole game. So they are making some positive steps here. Overall, I know that with the rules, Alessio has said that he didn't want to change much because he didn't want to invalidate the army books that are out there. And he says that he's only invalidated one magic item and one special rule. I don't know if that's true or not because I haven't seen the rule book. But if you if or when you get the rule book and you notice that there's more items that have been changed or invalidated, please let us know, because he wants to know, and we will definitely contact him and let him know. In the past, back when we ran the Wargaming Forums forum online, it was a Chromium's Wargaming Forums, we submitted this very big petition to Games Workshop. A lot of people signed in depth. We mailed it in, emailed it and stuff to Games Workshop headquarters about their price changes and stuff that we were unhappy with. There was a lot of us doing it. And although they still raised prices, they waited a while. So I like to think that we had a part in that, and we are very vocal about this. There is another area that I think will greatly impact the game that has been altered, and that is movement. And in particular, it is fleeing movement. When you have a unit that flees, you now have to flee directly away from the strongest enemy that you're facing, and they're the ones that have the highest unit strength. After that, you have to flee towards the closest table edge. But here's the twist. In the past, you could flee around hills and woods and around your units and stuff. Now you have to travel in a direct, straight line. So if that means you go through a wood, you go through that wood and you suffer movement penalties. If you go through a unit of your own, it gets really interesting, because you can force your unit to take a panic test. And it actually makes sense if you think about it. You have a unit of warriors somewhere, and they just got their butt kicked. They fought someone, another unit or something, and they're like, oh my god, everyone's dying. I'm getting out of here. A bunch of other people are like, oh, he's running away. We gotta get out of here. Ah! And they just flee. And if they run through another friendly unit, their other friendly unit's gonna say, whoa, what the hell's going on? Why are these guys going, and why am I staying here? I don't think I should stay here. I'm gonna go. The only time that your other unit is going to flee is if the fleeing unit has unit strength of 5 or higher. And I know that was a little confusing, so I just want to step back and go over it one more time, a little slower. You have a unit that is fleeing. It has to travel in a straight line when it flees. If it flees through, if it travels through a friendly unit, that second unit, the friendly unit, has to take a panic test if and only if unit A, the fleeing unit, has a unit strength of 5 or more. And an example of that would be, you have, I don't know, something like you play an empire, and you have a unit of great swords, and in front of them you have a man-eater, an ogre man-eater. Well, the ogre man-eater is a unit strength of 3. So if he's facing off chaos warriors or, you know, a bunch of skeletons or whatever, and he gets his butt kicked, and he flees, he's going to have to flee directly in a straight line directly through that unit of great swords. But whereas he's unit strength 3, he won't cause the great sword to take a panic test. And that's really important to remember. I think it's incredible. It's a great way to take real life and put it into the game. Excuse me. I'm sorry for that. Also, I want to mention that they have changed how lone characters are dealt with. And this is not something I've ever actually come across, but I talked to one of the people I know who games a lot, and I've mentioned him before. His name is Philip. He lives up in Niagara Falls. And I asked him about this the other day because my friend Steve told me about this. He came across this White Dwarf and said, hey, dude, you got to read it because it has all this fantasy stuff, and he knows I love fantasy. He's a 40K guy, but I'm really into fantasy. And he said, so you gotta read it. I got it. When I'm done, you can read it and stuff. And he was telling me some of this stuff, and some of it, you know, worried me when he told me. But when I read through the article, I kind of calmed down a little. But this one is still one. It's not as bad as how he made it seem, but it's gonna take some getting used to. And it deals with single or lone characters. No matter what, a single or a lone character can always be targeted when they are on their own. In order for you to avoid this, you always have to put a character inside a unit. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I always was taught, you know, to put my characters inside units. That way they can't be singled out. You don't want to have to spend, like, you know, 150 points, 200 points, or whatever on some maxed out uber character or anything and have them crumble. Or if you're like me and you're playing vampire accounts, you don't want your vampire lord to just go down, because then your entire army is going to start crumbling. And that's not a good thing. So I always put them inside the unit. I talked to Philip about this, and I said, hey, I heard, you know, that there's this new rule going to be coming out in 7th edition dealing with wizards, where people tend to hide them in the woods or whatever and just cast their spells. And I was like, I never heard that, never saw it. I was like, have you ever come across it? He's like, yeah, I always do that. He's like, what are you talking about, man? And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know. So I guess a lot of people are doing this, and if you're one of those people, let us know, because this is not something I was aware of before. But this rule now invalidates that, because the only way for you to make sure that your single character is always safe is to put them in a unit. There is a way to get around that, which would be to have a friendly regiment, a friendly unit, blocking the line of sight for your single character. And let me give you an example so you can actually grasp onto this. Let's say you have a vampire lord. You're playing vampire counts, you got a vampire lord. So you put a unit of skeletons, or you put a unit of black knights, let's say, a unit of black knights right in front. And then like a couple inches behind, you have your vampire lord. Well, your vampire lord's behind, you're like, whoa, block the line of sight, you can't target me, which would be correct. However, what if your opponent, right, happens to have a hill nearby with a bunch of, I don't know, thunderers on top? Oh, look, I get to look over your unit of black knights, and bam, I want to shoot your vampire lord. He could go down. I know the probability of that, you know, maybe what it is, but in theory, he could go down. So they want, Games Workshop is wanting us to keep our characters with our units, and that too makes sense. If you look back in history, if you're a history buff like I am, the famous leaders, they didn't just kind of go hang out on their own. If they were in the thick of battle, they were, you know, right up in front, they were in the middle, they had an entire unit around them running like crazy, just rushing to the battle and hack away and stuff. So this kind of goes more in line with that. There were other changes made to this. And by this, I obviously mean, you know, the new edition of Fantasy, but I don't want to give everything away. I just wanted to talk about those couple of issues. I do want to say that the rest of them are on, they're on their website, and they're in the new White Dwarf. I mentioned the issue of the White Dwarf, and we have both a link to the online store to buy the White Dwarf, and we have links in our show notes to the updated Warhammer Fantasy section on the Games Workshop website, a peek to the new Fantasy rulebook on the Games Workshop website, and we have a link to photos of 7th edition models in the box on our show notes. And those photos, I just want to mention now, they're hosted on our web space, but they are not set up as a gallery. You need to go into our show notes, you scroll down, you'll see it says photos of 7th edition models in box. When you see that, I want you to left click on it, and it'll open up, and you'll see it'll say index of podcast/7th ed. And there'll be a list of files, it'll say like image1.jpg all the way down to like wfb7boxback.jpg. You just click on each one of them, they will be blue and underlined. So you left click on each one and you'll get to see the photo. For example, image one is a photo of an orc war boss. He's mounted and he's also on foot. So you look at that. When you're done looking at that, you click the back button, you click on the next one. We will try to get this into a better gallery for everyone to look at, and we apologize for the fact that you have to do it this way now. But I just wanted to get them up there for you to see and look at. I also just want to mention that WarVault.net is still doing the Q&A with Graham McNeil and Gav Thorpe. And Gav Thorpe, as we know, is a lore master for Games Workshop. And he is mentioned in the new White Dwarf about Warhammer Fantasy. He has a little quote regarding the Warhammer world, which looks like it appears on page 124 of the rulebook. I'm not going to read the quote. I believe that would violate copyright law. But it is in here, and I just want to mention Gav Thorpe is in here. So maybe you have a question about the new edition of Warhammer Fantasy. You want to ask Gav Thorpe, submit your question to us, email it, whatever. We have our contact information at the end of the show and in our show notes. We'll submit it to War Vault and get an answer to your question. And then you'll say, hey, I asked that. This is the answer. Be like, whoa. Now, we're finishing up with that segment of our show, and we will be moving on to another segment after a break and some interlude music. So just hang on a moment, and we will be back shortly. Welcome back. I want to start this section of the show. We're in the last quarter of the show with an update on our regular game. I mentioned several podcasts ago that we were going to be doing a little sort of game. It's kind of poking fun at me, where the listeners, which are you, have to listen and see how many times I say "ah" in a podcast. I am new to podcasting. I am sure that I say "ah" a lot. It is a placeholder people do when they speak to try to think of something to say. It's especially difficult as I am the only person on the show. I'm hoping to, you know, set up so we can have co-hosts. And we have a submission from one person who is the winner for one of our shows. He submitted a number for our show on the 18th, which was a quick cast show about video games. He guessed the closest to how many times I said in the show. The actual number was 44. He guessed 20. However, he said that his count of 20 counted from 3 minutes and 11 seconds into the show and after, so he missed the first 3 minutes. His name is Paul Street, and as I said, whoever is the winner for each show will win some sort of prize. Paul's prize is going to be that not only is his name mentioned in our podcast, but that I am going to do a plug for a project he's involved with that all of you will enjoy, I believe. He's involved with a 40K mod for Command & Conquer Red Alert 2 and Yuri's Revenge. You can find this by going to 40kzone.com. We have the link, of course, in our show notes. And I recently visited the website. It looks like he changed things around a little bit, actually. The website 40kzone.com now automatically forwards you to another website, and it seems that he got more or less bought out or either joined forces with another company called Federation Studios. They have two projects going on. One of them is the mod I mentioned. There's a forum there. You can go. You can talk to him, and we will be doing a Q&A interview with him hopefully sometime next week. We'll be talking to Paul, and that's Paul Street, or I refer to him as Rodman online because that's his online moniker, and we'll be doing that sometime soon, so we hope to have that for you. I also want to mention early in the show I said that we were altering our format, and one of the alterations is that we moved when we do a little promotion. Every show I like to promote, do a little promotion for a blog or another podcast or a website or whatever that I like, that I use, that I'm really enjoyable of. And this time around, I want to talk about Battleground Games. I mentioned them in the very first podcast. If you didn't listen to that podcast, please look back on our website, wargamingforums.com. You'll find the podcast. It was done on the 17th. I discussed Black Gobbo and Games Workshop, and I mentioned the store is Battleground Games. It's run by Derek. He's a great guy. I actually saw him last night. I had to go down and pick up some White Dwarfs. And I just want to say, Battleground Games, if you're ever in the Massachusetts area, South Shore, it's worth making the trip to Abington. They are in Abington. We have the link to their website in our show notes. They have their address and how to get there on there. They do all sorts of different games and stuff. They're incredible. If you look on their website, I just want to mention, it should be in the artist gallery or somewhere on there. They have store pictures, rather, I think. They had on their birthday event, they took photos and stuff, and there's a picture of me and my friend Steve there, or Steve and I, rather. We're holding Arachnid Warriors that I had assembled and Steve painted back when we demoed for Mongoose Publishing. So just want to say, hey, Derek, thanks for talking to me last night. I hope you end up moving over to Akka Hosting, and I hope you subscribe to the podcast. I love coming down to your store. It's wonderful, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Next time I come down, I know I haven't been down there a while. Want to say to everyone else, go down to Battleground Games. It's the best place around to go and game. Great people, great product, great prices. You can't go wrong. So, way to go, Derek, and way to go, Battleground Games, and everyone down there. I want to thank everyone for listening to today's podcast. And I want to thank you for listening to our previous podcast. I looked at our usage stats. I have my own domain, which is wargameinformers.com. And we can see stats and stuff. It looks like, just for the podcast, there's something like 40 or 50 listeners so far. I don't know if that's regular or not. I can't tell. We have to see what the trends are. But I want to thank all of you, whether it's one person listening to things 50 times or 50 of you once. You guys are great. I do it for all of you. I don't know if you can tell, but I really enjoy doing this. I enjoy talking to you. I enjoy hearing back from you. I would love to hear back from you more. And remember, you can always give us your feedback. I live off your feedback. Please, 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 feedback. You can get in touch with me by emailing me. My email address is jreinhart@gmail.com. Or you can instant message me on AOL Instant Messenger. My name is CW Forums. Both of these are listed in the show notes. And also, another way you can leave some feedback is each episode of the podcast, I put up show notes. And at the bottom, if you scroll down to the little section for that, it is say, like, leave a comment or something like that. You can click on that and type in a comment, and it'll go up. People can see the comments. I can see the comments, and I can get back to you by leaving a comment of my own. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great day. Stay tuned for Thursday when we have another regular episode of our podcast coming out. That will be Thursday, August 24th. So I look forward to talking to you then. I look forward to hearing you in the meantime. Remember, you can always find us on the web at wargamingforums.com, and we are also we're located in iTunes in the podcast there. You just got to look for us and you will find us. You can download our podcast there. Thanks so much. Have a great day. And here comes your favorite part of the show, I'm sure. Our exit music. Good night and good luck. Bye.